Welcome, everybody, to a very special segment on KickServe Radio. We're talking a little rugby today, which is a little bit out of character for KickServe, but it's exciting because professional rugby is coming to Denver. I'm joined now by David Williams. He is now head of strength and conditioning and backs an overall team attack coach for the professional rugby team of Denver. David, welcome to the show. It's great to be talking rugby with you.
Thanks, Andy, and great to have me.
You know, Denver Pro Rugby is the name of the team right now, and it sounds like this is going to be a very fan-friendly experience, starting with the fact that there's going to be a contest to allow the fans of Denver to name the team.
No, it is. I think it's really exciting. It's kind of social media age, and the Pro Rugby, they want to engage the local community, and by doing that, we want them to engage in the name of the team. And I even think next year they may even have a say of our team colors as well.
You know, David, it seems like we've seen a spike in popularity in sports like lacrosse with kids and with soccer, certainly for many years. You've been involved with Olympic athletes. You've been involved with skiers and hockey players and now with rugby players. What makes you all think that this is now the time for rugby to really take hold and become popular here in the United States?
Well, I think one of the primary reasons is that rugby is now an Olympic sport with a seven-a-side. That's going to be in the Summer Olympics this summer down in Rio de Janeiro. And then just the overall popularity and the presence of rugby on a worldwide stage, there's more rugby being shown on TV now with ESPN, ESPN2, NBC Sports are picking it up. And then after the World Cup success, where that got streamed to the most number of TV audiences around the world, that people in America are starting to pick up another contact sport that has a low incidence of injuries. That's why I think soccer's getting picked up across the phenomenal sport with the Mammoth in town as well. And I think rugby, the way we tackle, the way we go into collisions is a lot safer than, say, American football. And therefore, as a new contact sport, and people, when they go to a game of rugby, they fall in love with it straight away. They don't necessarily understand the rules of the game, but as soon as they go and watch the game, they fall in love with it.
David, you make a great point when you address the injury component, because someone like me who grew up here and watched a little rugby casually here and there, I do think of it as a very physical and to some extent maybe violent sport. You're probably well aware of all of the controversy surrounding the concussion syndrome that we've got here in the United States and the concussion protocol, which is attributed largely to the sport of American football. What is rugby doing to address those concerns and get out in front of that before it should become something that parents might shy away from as a result of the perceived potential for injury to their children?
Well, first and foremost is our tackle technique. We tell every player it's basically cheek to cheek. So my cheek and my face goes on their butt cheek. So
okay.
We're looking at to put, and it's very easy to pick up because people can pick up that go cheek to cheek. So it's not forehead. I'm not trying to take my head into somebody's sternum. We actively encourage and we practice this very slowly. We go from our knees. And it's very progressional until we go to the full tackle, is that we put our head to the side. And a tackle should be made with your shoulder and not with your head. And that's a very big thing that we consider a very high safety aspect to our game, is that a lot of our tackles are one-on-one tackles. So we're not making a gang tackle as you would do in American football. We can tackle through the legs, and we encourage players to tackle on the player's thighs. And we're trying to get our head to the side. And that's what we do. And that's why we have a lower incidence of injuries, you know, with our players. Is you tackle with the shoulder, use your leg drive, you wrap them up as well. Whereas you'll see in other sports that people just go in with a shoulder charge. And we don't allow that. We don't encourage it. You actually get penalized if you don't wrap a player up in the tackle. So that's another safety aspect. And then, you know, we're not saying that we don't get concussions. Not at all. Like, I'll never say that. Yes, there are head injuries. But with our return to play protocols at the World Rugby, which is the FIFA, which is the NFL, they set aside, and that's down to every single level in our sport, that we have to stringently and adhere to those return-to-play protocols. And they have to go a certain level of protocols through every day. And as soon as they get any more symptoms, then they're back to level one again. We don't just say, well, we have a game on the weekend. Oh, you're good Tuesday, Wednesday. Right, you're back in. Like, if the player's not right on Saturday morning and he has some headaches or whatever he has, then we're back to level one. Then that may take him another week. It may take him 2 weeks. Well, may take him as long as possible to make sure that player is physically and mentally right before he steps back on the field to play.
David, the Denver Pro Rugby team debuts on Sunday April 17th at Infinity Park in Glendale. Could be a snowy day. Does weather have an impact on the sport of rugby the way it does, let's say, professional baseball in this country?
It doesn't. Now, it's interesting. Obviously, we're monitoring the snow and the weather this weekend very closely, because the team we're playing against is based out of Ohio, so they have to fly in. Oh. And obviously, that's dependent on planes coming in and, you know, if airports are shut and closed and what have you. But normally, rugby's played come rain, shine, or whatever the weather is. As long as the team can get here on time, then we'll be playing 2 o'clock at Infinity Park.
So if the players show up, it's game on. When you look to identify a player, David, that you think has got the potential to really excel in the sport of rugby, what are some of the skill set components that would maybe cause you to maybe catch your attention as a coach?
Well, the joy of rugby is that all sizes can play the game. So like in football, like our forwards are big boys. We have anywhere from centers, and then the second rows are basically your tight ends. The back rows are like your inside linebackers. And then the backs, which are the quicker players, you're looking at running backs, DBs, cornerbacks, things like that. So our kind of quarterbacks of our team will be our more skillful player. But I think with every sport, the underlying theme, if you're going to excel at the top of the level, whether that's tennis or whether that's anything, is speed. If you can have speed and that's a natural talent and you can progress that, then you will have a greater chance of excelling at any sport at the top end. Now, because it is a contact sport, you do need that physical presence. We have some players who range from 280 pounds, and our lightest players is down at 185 at the moment, and then anywhere in between.
These are still pretty big physical boys. One of the things, David, that I think has caused the sport of soccer to not necessarily catch the kind of fire in this country that I think it has around the world is the limited amount of scoring that you see in high-level soccer. I certainly played soccer as a kid and enjoy watching World Cup soccer. How does the scoring element in rugby compare to that of soccer or, say, Australian rules football?
Oh, we all see a normal game. There'd be mid-20s, there'd be 28, 21. There'd be obviously some games which are higher. The more free-flowing the game is, and that's what everybody wants to watch, you'll see scores go up to 50 points, you know, 50 points to 30, something like that. There are very few games now where it's a very low-scoring game. When the weather is bad and it's wet and the ball gets dropped and it's fumbled, then that's when you see low-scoring games. But now, with the level of equipment that the players use, whether it's different things on their hands to keep the grip going, or the ball is a lot grippier as well, that you'll see a more free-flowing game, which leads to more points being scored. And then with the physicality and then the fitness of the players, that players can repeat their high-intensity efforts more during the game, which allows them to be more productive during the game and therefore score more points.
Sunday at Infinity Park sets up to potentially be maybe a little bit of a defensive struggle if we're weather dependent on that. David, before we let you go, talk about the league. Talk about the other cities that are involved in this inaugural season and the dates of the season and how many opportunities our fans here in Denver might get to get an opportunity to go to Infinity Park and watch your team play.
Yeah, so this is the inaugural season for pro rugby, which is phenomenal, and it's been a long time coming. So there's 5 teams currently, and that will expand to 8 or 10 next year. So the 5 current teams are Ohio, Denver, Colorado, Sacramento, San Francisco, and San Diego. And within that, we'll play a number of home games. And to see the schedule, you just go to prorugby.org. And then from there, you can follow the game schedule. And we'll have 6 home games here in Denver.
David, thanks so much for joining us. This segment's been brought to you by Lori Abbey with RE/MAX Real Estate. We want to thank her for setting us up to get connected with one another. Good luck to you in your inaugural season. It's an exciting opportunity to bring pro rugby to the United States, let alone to Denver, Colorado. So we wish you a lot of luck with that. And thanks so much for joining us today to talk about it.
Great. Thanks a lot, Andy. Really appreciate having me on the show.
And he put it in.